Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. The Lord says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal." Now, what are earthly treasures? We might categorize earthly treasures into two things. And the reason I'm going to do this is because this verse comes right after. It's sort of a change in subject from what our Lord's been speaking about in Matthew chapter 5 and in Matthew 6 up to here. So first of all, you might say earthly treasures are religious treasures. Religious treasures. Any religious treasure stored up in earth is stored up in this flesh, and it's fading. It's going to be eaten one day and gone to the dust. It won't last. And the second category is temporal treasures. Those treasures we set our affection on in this life. There's a transition going here from these religious treasures to these temporal treasures that our Lord's speaking of. And I'm going to make the connection here in a moment, but I want you to stay with me on that. Verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now, what are heavenly treasures? Well, heavenly treasures are the treasures we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ Himself, the fullness of the triune God bodily, and all that is His is the believers. He and all that is His belongs to the believer. It is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the treasures in heaven. Now, throughout the fifth chapter, the Lord's been teaching His children that the difference between religious treasures and that earthly men value and heavenly treasures, spiritual treasures of the believer. The natural man's treasures are his so-called obedience to God. What he thinks is been obedience to God. And the Lord dealt with that all through the middle part of Matthew 5. The spiritual man's treasures is Christ Jesus, who is our righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the religious man. His righteousness is the righteousness we must have to enter into heaven's glory. We must have Christ. That's our treasure. And then He said in chapter 6, He showed that the natural man treasures religious exercises, almsgiving, prayer, fasting, to be seen of men. Now, if you missed those messages, I'd encourage you to listen to them. Go back and read the bulletins on those and listen to what we looked at in all of those. But the religious man treasures those things. His treasure in doing those things to be seen of men is for two reasons. It's to appear holy before men, and it is to attract and constrain other sinners to imitate Him and do what He does. We saw that in Isaiah 58. The Lord said, "In the day of your fast, ye exact all your labors." And the word there is riches. "You fast for strife and debate," He said. In other words, they strove with one another and they debated in their gospel to one another of how to properly go about these religious devotions. That's what their attention was on. And He said, "And you smite with the fist of wickedness. You constrain others to conform to your way. And if they don't conform and practice outwardly the way you tell them it should be done, you cast them out. You smite with the fist of wickedness." And He said, "And ye make your voices to be heard on high." Everything they were doing, they were marketing, advertising themselves and their church and their religious body to men to try to attract men to them and to their church, and to what they were doing. That's the same thing that religion's done in every generation. And in our day, it's rampant. Religious organizations market and advertise everything that their organization does and is doing, all the various ministries, for the purpose of attracting folks to the church, to join the church, to unite with us. It's the same vanity for an assembly to do it as the Lord said it is for one man to do it. To let his alms be seen, to draw attention to himself and to attract others to do what he does. To let a man to pray to be seen of men so he appears holy and attracts others to him. To fast. The Lord said, and this thing that you've called a fast is a feast. It's not a fast. You're gorging yourself on falsehood, the Lord said, and it's vanity. And it's not a fast. And then we saw last time how that the true fast was how that Christ has freed us from the yoke of that oppression and the burden of that oppression. And in the true fast, we separate from that polluted bread to Christ, our bread, and we don't want to have anything else to do with it. We want to free sinners from that oppression and from the yoke. The Lord said they have their reward, the earthly religious treasure. These are those many wonderful works and the casting out of devils that the Lord's going to end this sermon with when we get to the end. Now, contrary to that, the spiritual man treasures Christ, our almsgiver. He came to us poor and desperate sinners and fed us and clothed us, and he's made us givers of alms to our poor brethren to provide for them by his love toward us. We cherish Christ, our intercessor, who has made intercession on our behalf and makes us one with God that we might have access to the throne of God's grace. And we intercede now for sinners and for those who are out of the way. Christ, our bread from heaven, is the one who's caused us to fast from the poison bread of what we once fed on to our treasure in heaven. And therefore, we heed our Lord's word. Believers do not advertise. They do not market ourselves and our practices or our ministries. Now, every church that I've had fellowship with has many ministries. There's much going on as far as teaching different age groups missionary work, and there's a lot of things going on, but you won't find one of them telling folks about those things. We keep secret, not to be seen of men, the outward ministries, which are the result of the secret ministry of our secret God, wrought in the secret place of the heart. Go back at your leisure and read the first 18 verses of Matthew 6, and see how often the Lord talks about this, our God who is secret, who works in secret, who sees in secret. And that which he's done, it's going to be seen of men. Men will see it, but we don't advertise it, because then we would attract men to us and not to Christ. But instead, as our Lord has commanded us and as all the saints have done in every age, we hold forth the word of life. Christ Jesus and him crucified, that men's faith might stand in the power of God and not in us, that they be attracted to Christ and not us, that they be called into the fold of Christ and not our fold. You'll get a lot more following the other way. But God said that's their treasure. That is the riches that you'll have, all the riches you'll have, if you attract men any other way than the preaching of Christ and him crucified. You got your reward. Our reward and our treasure is the open heart that God has given us to behold Christ, and in the day of his return, when we'll appear with him in glory. That's our open reward. That's our treasure. That's where our treasure is, heavenly places. This is that light. When our Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven," This is the light he's talking about, let shine. And men will see this light and they'll glorify God. How are they going to see this light if we're not trying to make them see it? How are they going to see that this is a good work if we're not trying to make them see all our good works like religion does? 1 Peter 2:12 says, in the day of visitation, when God the Holy Spirit breaks a sinner's heart and gives him life in Christ and faith to behold Christ Jesus, he's going to glorify God for your subjection to him, for using you to preach Christ to him instead of prostituting the gospel to him and to try and attract him into a religious organization. He'll thank you for it. And secondly, in the day that the Lord returns and he brings all his saints home to be with him, it's going to be manifest openly to all those in religion that their works were evil and that your works were good. It's going to be openly manifest. And they're going to glorify God for it. They're going to say, yes, Lord, and bow the knee and then go to hell. That's going to be the case. Now, our Lord proceeds from this point to this second category, which is earthly riches, temporal things that we set our affection on. And I want you to make this connection because the Lord, I'm going to show you something here that how vitally connected these things are. The earthly, temporal things we need, the Lord gets it narrowed down to two things. We need food and drink, and we need clothing. Anything beyond that is us going after more than really what we need. And the Lord said, I'll provide your food and your clothing, and I'll provide it for my people. Now, the spiritual man seeks the treasure of the kingdom of God, Christ Jesus, and his righteousness. Now, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, temporal or religious, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do I lay up a treasure for myself in heaven? How do I do that? Now, I pointed out to you those religious treasures, as we're moving here to these temporal treasures, because our Lord connects these two right here. The Lord goes right from speaking of almsgiving into instruction about us not to lay up treasures for ourselves on this earth, but in heaven. Now, in Luke's gospel, the Lord said, sell that ye have, your temporal possessions. Sell that ye have and give alms, and provide bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Now, our Lord's not saying that by giving alms, you're going to earn treasures in heaven for yourself. But almsgiving, a heart that wants to give and provide for the brethren in love that is constrained by Christ, manifests that the believer's treasure already is in heaven. He's willing to part with what the carnal man values as earthly treasures because that's not his treasure. That's not his treasure. His treasure's in heaven, and he knows his Lord provided that temporal thing, and if he gives it to a poor brother, he knows the Lord gave it to him for that purpose, and the Lord will provide him with whatever he needs. His treasure's in heaven. Now, Matthew 26:21 right here, the Lord says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure's upon earth, our hearts will be set on these earthly treasures. If our treasure's in heaven, our heart will be set on those heavenly treasures. You know, Paul told the Galatians, he said, those that try to constrain you, they do not do the things they're trying to constrain you to do. They don't do them themselves. But the believers, as we read about believers in the early church, they were givers. They gave bountifully. And Paul never tried to constrain them to give anything. You know what the difference was? Those men that were constraining others to do things, religious things, that was their treasure. And their treasure was on earth. And they wouldn't dare let go of their own things. They wouldn't dare do the things they commanded others to do themselves. But the believer's treasure is in heaven. And he commits himself to God. He's in the care of his Lord. Now, our eye determines what fills our body. Look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, How great is that darkness? Now, faith is the eye that sees Christ. Sees is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we have faith, our eye is single for Christ Jesus. Some Strong says that's a compound word. That word single is a compound word, which basically has this meaning, woven in oneness with Christ. Woven in oneness with Christ. Lit by Christ the light, having no part dark, and our whole body will be full of light. Now, if our eye is evil, if we're spiritually blind, if we are without faith, our eye's going to be set on this earth, and our whole body's going to be full of evil, full of darkness. Now, that does not mean that we won't be religious, and it doesn't mean that we won't give abundantly. Paul said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Only the love of Christ imparted in the new nature will make a man set his affection on things above. That's the only way. If therefore the light, verse 23, that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When a person treasures religious or temporal treasures, and yet calls darkness light, and calls bitter sweet, he's in great darkness. And only God's grace can save him. Now, I want you to turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. And I want to look at the rich young ruler as an example here. And bear in mind, we're staying with these two categories, religious treasure and temporal treasure. Now watch this. The rich young ruler came asking what he must do to enter into heaven. His earthly riches were, I've kept the law from my youth up. That was his religious treasure. I've kept the law from my youth up. And he was rich in many temporal possessions. Now, how did our Lord reveal that his heart and his eye were set on earthly treasures, that he was blind, that he was calling darkness light? How did the Lord reveal that? Luke 18, verse 22. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. His eye wasn't single for Christ. His heart wasn't set on Christ. And by telling him to part with his temporal riches, the Lord manifests that his religious riches was his own obedience. Christ wasn't. The obedience of Christ and his righteousness wasn't his riches. His own religious obedience and his temporal possessions were his riches. He was treasuring things on heaven. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And I'm convinced right here, our Lord is speaking of the both kinds of riches that this man had. He had religious riches and he had temporal riches. A man that's rich in things of this earth, how hardly can that man pass? Especially a man that has those things and thinks they're light when they're darkness. Now, he says, it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God is the only one. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is the only one who can make us forsake all earthly riches and gives us, he does it by giving us something exceedingly better than any earthly riches. And it's Christ Jesus the Lord. We have life in him. He's our life. We have wisdom. He's our wisdom. We have acceptance with God. He's all our acceptance with God. We have a protector. He's our shield and our defender. He is the truth. He is the resurrection. He is everything, all to the believer. And then Peter, look here in verse 28. Peter said, "Lo, we've left all and followed thee." You know what made them leave everything and follow him? Those nets and their fishing gear and all the things they had, that was valuable, valuable possessions for a fisherman. You know what made them walk away from their occupation and follow Christ and leave families, everything, and follow him? A word. He said, "Follow me." I love the account of Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, Levi. It says, one of the Gospels says that he left all, and then he rose up and he followed Christ. He left everything before he ever moved a muscle. That's what God does in the heart when he calls a sinner. Peter said, "We've left all and followed thee." And look what the Lord said. "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." What's the manifold more that we receive right now in this life? It's life everlasting. It's Christ Jesus, our life. And we'll receive life everlasting hereafter. That's the open reward. It just gets better and better and better and better. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever." It just gets better and better with him. Now, back to our text, and we'll close here. And I want you to see here the last thing now. There is no middle ground. No middle ground. Verse 24. "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," God and earthly treasure. Now, right there where you sit right now, this morning, your heart is either set on the treasure of heaven, Christ Jesus and all spiritual blessings in him, or your heart is set on the treasure of this earth. There's no middle ground. Your eye is either single for Christ the light and your whole body is full of light, or your eye is evil and your body is full of darkness. You either love God and hate mammon, or you love mammon and hate God. You are either the servant of God or you're the slave of unrighteousness, of mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" There's no middle ground. "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." You're either the willing slave of Satan and unrighteousness and sin and death, are you the willing bond slave of Christ Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness? Now, I want you to meditate on that, and I want you to look with me one more time. Let's read through this of what our Lord says here. I just want to read three verses. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look down at verse 22, the second half of it. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Look down at verse 24, the last sentence. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Lord's word here is what the Apostle Paul told the Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. Do you see dead men treasure in this earth? If you're dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Seek Christ the Lord. Set your affection on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means take this book and learn everything you can about Christ Jesus. This book is about him from beginning to end. Every word is about him. Every line in this book is to point us to him. Every one of them. This book is his book. This is his Father's word concerning his Son and how he saves hell-deserving sinners and makes them righteous and accepted of God. Find out who this is. Find out who this one is. And if you think you know who he is, take this book and do everything I just said. And don't stop doing it. Don't stop doing it. Continue to call on him. Continue to seek him. Continue to learn more of him. Continue to ask God to give you the grace to know who Christ is. I implore you, I beseech you to do it. And turn away from everything else. Turn away from all other things and seek him. We're going to come to it next week, but the last thing he's going to say to you is, the Lord will provide those other things. He'll provide those other things. You can't even do it. And I can't even do that. I can't provide those things. But seek him. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer.